It's the Jim Bohannon Show, and it's summertime, 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 which will explain Jimbo's absence, and your guest host of Last Resort, Jim's muchacho, Holland Cook, with you for all 3 hours tonight. In our third hour, we will step into the time machine, and in our second hour, we're going to tell you about making a living without a job. But in this first hour, Mighty Ambitious, what Washington doesn't get about America and what America doesn't get about Washington. And you need to be part of this conversation because you out there in America might wonder if the people you send here to Washington get it. And you will be joined this hour by a true Washington insider and a true Washington outsider. Here, quite inside the Beltway, is a voice and face familiar to the folks in the national capital area. Dave McConnell is the only local radio or TV reporter in the USA assigned to cover Congress full-time. He has been on Washington's all-news station, WTOP, for nearly 45 years, seven of which he and I shared there. And you might have heard him cover Congress on CBS radio stations elsewhere. Dave is also a regular on Washington area television. You may have seen him on C-SPAN or public TV. And Dave McConnell joins me in studio tonight. And Dave, thank you for being here so late on a school night.
It's a pleasure to be here, Holland. Good to be working with you again.
I heard you all day on WTOP, so this is a long day for you. And meanwhile, way outside the Beltway is one Heidi Harris. She's a familiar face if you watch Fox News Channel or Hardball with Chris Matthews or The Ed Show on MSNBC, where often she is the conservative who says something you weren't expecting to hear from a conservative. Heidi hosts a daily talk radio show on KDWN Las Vegas, and I've been a guest on her show, so this is payback time tonight. And when I was a guest, the announcer at the beginning of the show said, there are thousands of Vegas showgirls, but only one Vegas showgirl with a show. And her resume really does include singing and stand-up comedy out there. Heidi has entertained our troops in Bosnia and has been named among the 100 most important talk hosts in America by Talkers Magazine. Tonight, live from Las Vegas, hello, Heidi Harris.
Hello, Holland Cook. How are you?
It's good to hear your voice again. And you, listening to the radio, are no less integral, even though we have assembled this distinguished panel tonight. I want to take a lot of calls, and the only way we can do all of that in 1 hour is to keep the calls short. And that is actually what we're all about tonight. And I want you to think this through and prepare this, because when we open the phone lines in a while, you are confined to one sentence, and I want you to write it like a telegram. If you could tell every member of Congress one thing, what would it be? Because if you tell them on this show, in this hour, they will hear it. And I'd like to get as many voices as possible, so I'm going to hold you to that one sentence. So I want you to think about this. Scribble something on a napkin if that'll help you. But if you could tell every member of Congress one thing, what would that one thing be? And I'll give you the phone number right now. Scribble this down, too. It's 1-866-50-JIMBO. That's 1-866-505-4626. Heidi Harris, out there in America, adjectives to describe people's view of Congress.
Arrogant. They're absolutely arrogant. They don't seem to have any clue what we do out here on a daily basis. And they get back to D.C. and they're completely detached from us. And they seem to know what we need better than we know ourselves. And it's so amazing because I've seen a lot of politicians from here in Vegas who I've known before they became elected officials change over the years and suddenly act as if they're not one of us. And it's very frustrating. So I would think arrogant would be the number one word that most of my listeners would use.
Now, Dave, would this come as a surprise to members of Congress that there's this view you out there that we're in a bubble in here?
No, I don't think so. And I think the fact that Heidi considers them arrogant wouldn't surprise them at all. They'd all deny it, of course, but it wouldn't surprise them.
And look at all the members that you've covered in all the years on the Hill. Heidi talked about them changing, and there is this contagion here. There is a bit of Potomac fever. Have you seen that pattern? Do they change when they get here?
Their critics always say they change, and I think some people come here with a preconceived notion that the place is not receptive enough to their ideas. If they're a conservative, it isn't conservative enough. If there's a liberal, it isn't liberal enough. And then after a while, they think that they get consensus, and they see the other guy's argument or the other lady's argument. And then people back home sometimes think they've gone native, that they've gotten too much into Washington in that sense, that they're not the fire eaters that they used to be. Other people would argue that you can't get things done by being a fire eater. You do have to get along to go along. They even point to Ronald Reagan, who was willing to take a half a loaf of bread on certain occasions and not push things through. Now there is more of a thinking, at least based on the talk that I hear from the floor, that we've got to do it a certain way, and if it isn't done that certain way, we're devaluing our ideas and we should go home.
Heidi, how is Harry Reid thought of back home there?
Nobody likes him. I mean, his approval ratings are very, very low. Certainly there are some groups who do, but in general, most people don't like him. Even people who are Democrats don't like him. They don't like his approach. They don't think he's good for the state. I was very upset about the fact that he didn't defend our city when President Obama said you shouldn't be coming to Vegas. He said virtually nothing. Most of our congressional delegation is comprised of Democrats. They said virtually nothing. So he's not popular. He is very beatable, and I'm actually hearing about some names out here who could actually have a very, very realistic chance of beating him.
The last time I saw one of his commercials on TV while I was out there, his mantra seemed to be no nuclear waste. Is that the big issue there?
Well, it used to be. For now, Yucca Mountain's not really doing anything. I don't know that I'd call it completely dead, but it's not really doing a lot. But what's interesting, too, is that Harry Reid just was very instrumental in killing a coal plant in the middle of our state in a place called Ely, Nevada, that would have employed upwards of 2,000 people because he doesn't think that we need this kind of coal. Meanwhile, we're at over 12% unemployment here in Las Vegas, and the people in Ely wanted the coal plant. No one talks about that. It's interesting what the press covers about Harry Reid and what they choose to ignore about Harry Reid.
Dave, one of the things America might not get about Washington is the Washington area real estate values, because many Americans have one home, and it's all they can do to hang on to it, and they haven't seen what houses are going for in Bethesda and Chevy Chase and Fairfax County. Representative Jason Chavez, Republican, Utah, sleeping on a cot in his Washington office. It takes a lot to scrape by on what members are paid here, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and he isn't the first congressman to do that. A number have done it, and the reason they do it is, A, they don't want to become too inured to the folks back home by becoming part of Washington. They think a good way to not do that is to simply sleep in your office, keep your family back home, and then you do the job, and you commute, you go back home over the weekends or longer. The problem with that, critics say, is that you don't pay enough attention to your job here in Washington, and sooner or later the voters figure that out.
These guys are frequent flyers, too, huh?
Heidi knows from coming in from Vegas. Yeah. That's a red eye. The California crowd, the same thing. The local delegation in Maryland, the district in Virginia, they don't have that problem. They complain that they're too close to the people. They can always call them up on the phone. Yeah, it costs a lot to live in Washington. If you want to bring your family here and maintain two households, it's very, very expensive. That's one of the pressures that these people have to put up with. And they don't make that much money. It seems like a lot of money, but in Washington standards, it really isn't.
Now, it's going to be your turn. If you could tell every member of Congress one thing, I'm going to give you one sentence. What would that thing be? And we're going to go to the phones when we come back. 1-866-50-JIMBO. That's 1-866-505-4626. LendingTree. Get the innovative tools and personalized advice to control your financial destiny at the all-new LendingTree.com. 1-800-555-TREE. I'm Holland Cook. This is the Jim Bohannon Show. Hello from Washington and Las Vegas tonight. It's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Holland Cook with Dave McConnell and Heidi Harris. And tonight we're talking about what Washington doesn't get about America and what America doesn't get about Washington. And I'm going to give you one sentence to send a message to Congress. Roy from Illinois, what do you want to tell them?
I want to tell them that they should all resign because they are just absolutely horrible, and they should give us our money back and get out of our lives.
Roy, don't sugarcoat it. Tell us how you really feel. Chad in Iowa, if you could tell every member of Congress one thing, what would it be?
Do not cut military spending. Those weapon systems that they build create jobs and in turn give us weapons to protect the country, and then in turn those jobs have income tax that they can gain back. That's stupid to cut that kind of spending.
But there's only so many dollars. What about health care?
Health care is what we provide ourselves when we have the job. He cut the military spending, we lose the jobs, we lose our own health care.
One of your neighbors in Iowa is Emma. Emma, what would you like to tell Congress if you could tell them one sentence?
I would tell them to read and understand the bill before voting for it or against it. Just like the health care, there's 1,000-something pages of bill, and I want them to read and understand it before voting for it or against it.
What about it, Dave? They run the printing press in the middle of the night. They do the vote in the morning. As a practical matter, can they read the whole bill before they vote?
Well, if they can't, they can get a staffer who can, and they have a pretty good idea when the bill gets to the floor. But you're right. This health bill is huge. The Democrats started reading it, let's see, about 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. They may still be reading it. They're having off-the-floor caucuses at meetings and wheeling and dealing to try to get a health bill started on the House side. And for the moment, they're not making much progress, but they're reading that bill.
Heidi, what do they think out there in America about all the urgency we're hearing from the White House and the Dems on this health care thing?
Well, I think what's pretty fascinating is a lot of people are suspicious. Harry Reid all of a sudden is backtracking. Well, you know, we don't want a bill that's not good. No, that's not it. They don't have enough votes. If they had enough votes, they would shove it down our throats, and they wouldn't care what anybody on the right thought, and we all know that's true. I think most people are not fooled by it, and as information about the bill trickles out in little bits and dribs and drabs, people are outraged. I mean, how much rationing will there be? What about the elderly people? Are we going to cut off care for them? All these different things. Are we going to have people knock on your door and make sure your children are vaccinated? Some of these things that you could call scare tactics, and some of them are right there in print. So more and more people are concerned, and that's why there's been a pushback, and that's why I don't think it's going to get passed.
So the callers you talked to on your show there in Vegas are really hearing a hurry up from these proponents, huh?
Oh, absolutely. And even people who believe in the concept of government medicine or the fact that everybody should be entitled, which of course I don't, but even those who do are a little suspicious about this because, as you know, the majority of people polled have some type of health insurance already that they're happy with. They may not like it 100% of the time, but they're a little concerned about what they may lose as a result of this. And of course, I keep talking, as do a lot of other hosts, about the whole point that if the government goes in and sponsors this and subsidizes it, those private insurers are going to go out of business. That's going to be the ultimate goal, and you're going to have no choice other than to go on Obamacare, and then they're going to pull the rug out from under you, and you're going to find out what it's like to be on a waiting list for months for the slightest thing.
Brian from Daytona Beach, Florida, if you could tell every member of Congress one thing, what would it be?
Why would anybody want to enlist to fight and protect our country when Obama's just reversing everything that we're trying to build up?
Josh from Fort Bragg, North Carolina, what do you think about that?
Ah, man, I don't know. I mean, I'm enlisted, I'm in the Army, and I'm fighting right now. But you know what I gotta say? I gotta say that they need to take a knee, face out and drink water, and, you know, take a breath as far as this bill's concerned. You know, I don't want higher taxes. You know, the health care in the Army is terrible, you know, and I won't want that for everybody else outside in America.
There did seem to be a lot of hurry-up last fall during the last administration with a big financial bailout and some remorse after. You know, where did all the money go? Chris from Fort Campbell, Kentucky, what would you like to tell every member of Congress?
For all of you that have fought to get the military higher pay and benefits, I'd like to say thank you. And as a soldier, that really means a lot.
Very good. Thank you, Chris. Heidi, based on what callers to your show in Las Vegas are telling you, how is President Obama doing so far?
Well, I think some people love him. Those who voted for him, many of them are still happy with him, and others never liked him to begin with, and he's just basically doing what they thought he would do. I think people like me who are conservative, I knew it'd be bad, but I don't think that I thought it would be this bad this quickly. And there's a lot of na-na-na-na-na, what are you going to do about it? Or at least there was until this health care situation. All of a sudden there's pushback, and it's not really so much from the Republicans, it's the Democrats putting the brakes on this in Congress. So Obama's had free rein up to this point. Now he's being pushed back a little bit, and that's encouraging for me.
Yeah, Dave, as they count the votes on the Hill, these Dems are not a lock, are they?
No, no, they're certainly not. The so-called Blue Dog Democrats, the financially conservative Democrats in the House, have really reared up and tried to put the brakes on the bill as it now exists. Of course, you have a lot of this always on the Hill. You know, we have a deadline Friday. They have to go home. Will they pass a bill before they go home? What kind of a bill will it be? And they use that as leverage. They say, well, we might not go home. We might keep you here this summer to force people into it. But the two issues, cost and coverage, are something that still hasn't really been settled. Democrats, many of them, and most Republicans think the taxes in this bill are too high, the costs are too high, the coverage isn't that great, and that we're rushing into something that we really shouldn't be. We should think about it a lot more. Other people say, look, if we don't do something and do something quickly, the costs right now of the system are so astronomical, they're going to get even worse. There's going to be all these people that don't have any insurance. We have to do something about that. We have to compromise some, but we have to all share the pain, and we have to make things better. They're having trouble, frankly, in many cases, making that argument.
It's only Tuesday now. I'm tempted to do the John McLaughlin imitation and say, prediction, but who knows what could happen by Friday, huh?
But what could finally happen, I'm hearing, is that Obama will get some of what he wants. He'll get some changes, but he won't get this widespread plan. The biggest prediction that I'm hearing is nothing will happen right now. They'll go home and stew about this over the summer, and the real knockdown, drag-out fight will start in the fall.
So, Heidi, by the time members get back home there, they could get an earful from the folks you talk to every day, huh?
Oh, absolutely. And it's interesting. I want to kind of piggyback on what Dave said about the idea of doing something and trying to limit costs. Nobody's ever defined where the money goes. In other words, they say, oh, it's costing us so much money. And now Barack Obama's even tried to say that one of the reasons the economy's not good is not because of his stimulus package, it's because of medical costs. I don't know what they mean by the medical costs. If I have private insurance, how is that costing the government money? If they're talking about Medicare fraud, which is in the billions, nobody is examining that. Nobody's doing anything about that. And I guess what a lot of people feel is if the government takes over, there's just going to be more fraud. And if you haven't addressed the fraud already, how are you going to quote unquote fix with the waste that they have now? Because President Obama has said, well, we're going to find a lot of the savings through limiting waste. Really? When are you going to start that?
Well, that's what we're going to solve all of America's problems in 1 hour here tonight.
I like it.
On the Jim Bohannon Show, what Washington doesn't get about America, what America doesn't get about Washington, we're going to go through a bunch of calls when we come back. I'm Holland Cook for Jim Bohannon here with Dave McConnell in Washington and Heidi Harris in Las Vegas. And your calls coming up next on the Jim Bohannon Show. It's the Jim Bohannon Show. I am guest host Holland Cook for the Vacationing Jimbo. In the next hour, making a living without a job with the author of the book of the same name, now in its 18th printing, Barbara Winter will outline 6 specific ways you can become joyfully jobless. But in the meantime, we're going to fix everything. This hour, what Washington doesn't get about America, what America doesn't get about Washington.
No one read it. That's the whole point. They wait till the middle of the night, they drop it in the middle of the night, it's printed in the middle of the night, and the next morning when we come in, it passes.
How could Congress pass this Patriot Act without even reading it?
Sit down, my son. We don't read most of the bills. Do you really know what that would entail if we were to read every bill that we passed? Well, the good thing, it would slow down the legislative process.
Tongue only slightly in cheek, respectively, Jim McDermott, Democrat Washington, John Conyers, Democrat Michigan, from the Michael Moore movie, Fahrenheit 9/11. In that case, the Patriot Act, and a caller just now said this health care bill, they're not even going to read the darn thing before they pass it. And what we're asking you to do in the remaining half hour on this segment is tell Congress one thing. We're going to take your calls at at 1-866-50-JIMBO. That's 866-505-4626, and we're going to take as many calls as we can. But if you can't get through, Dave McConnell, how can a citizen contact his or her member of the House and Senate?
Well, on the House side, you can dial 202-225-3121. On the Senate side, it's 202-224-3121. Now, you may get a busy signal. Me just saying it now, people might start, thanks to your huge audience, Holland, may start calling, and people like me won't be able to get through on the phone. That's something that often happens when the people gin up the ads, the issue ads. But it generally works if you're patient. You can do Senate.com, House.com on your computer. You can Google the person's name and just try .com, dot-comming them that way. That's probably a good way to get through, but you can get through.
And even if you don't know who your member is, if you go to the House website, they let you put your zip code in, and they'll remind you who your member
is. House.com, Congress.com.
Mike in Waukegan, Illinois, if you could tell Congress one thing, what would it be?
Put an end to the dozen, if not baker's dozen, dollar figure a decade drug war.
Adam in Alabama, what one thing would you like to tell all of Congress?
I'd like to tell Congress to pass the Employee Free Choice Act. Workers all over the United States need that. It levels the playing field between workers that are trying to organize and the business owner. It does away with the harassment through the organization process.
James in Harrisonburg, Virginia, you're on the Jim Bohannon Show. Your message to Congress.
Stop abortion and end the bill that they are trying to pass.
Wayne in South Carolina, what would you like to tell Congress?
Enough with your party politics. Uphold your oath, your constitutional oath of your office. End illegal immigration in this country. Secure our borders and our ports and give us our jobs back and get them out. No more free benefits, no health care, nothing. If they're here illegally, get them out of here.
It's a bit of a run-on sentence, but a lot to consider. The first part of that, ending partisan politics. We heard a lot about this on the campaign trail from the man who is now president. And I thought of that today when I heard you, Dave, report on the committee moving Judge Sotomayor's vote to the full Senate. And there was Lindsey Graham, the only Republican on the committee, who voted in favor, saying, how about it?
Well, he's a very unusual guy. He's a maverick Republican, very conservative. But he is the one guy that is willing to poke his finger in somebody's eye that he thinks deserves it. And he is not reluctant to say that the emperor has no clothes in his own party when he thinks that's true. He's a lot like John McCain. He patterns himself after John McCain, worked for McCain in the campaign. And his view is that elections matter. And just as George Bush won a second term and got in Alito and Roberts, so Obama has won the election, and he has every right to try to push the kind of justice that he wants. And if the person is qualified, that person should be confirmed. And he believes, although he does not agree with her on most issues, he believes that Sotomayor should be confirmed.
Heidi Harris in Las Vegas, how does Judge Sotomayor play with the callers to your show?
We've talked about it a little bit, and the way I look at it is she's going to get in, right? So there's no point in the Republicans huffing and puffing and threatening to blow the House down. It's really not going to do them any good. And it's been interesting also with my listeners. Matter of fact, my producer is Latino, and he does not even slightly concerned that she gets criticized in the hearings. And there were a lot of people saying, well, if she's criticized, if the Republicans are rough on her, they're going to lose the Latino vote. I think that's a little insulting to assume that every Latino person would be offended by that. So my producer, speaking, you know, on behalf of himself, doesn't seem to care whether she's Latino or not. But, you know, they're looking at her, and I think it could be a lot worse, frankly. I think she could be a lot more liberal than she probably is. So, you know, it's not as bad as it could be, I guess.
And Supreme Court justices are notorious for surprising the president who appointed them, like the one she'll be replacing.
Yeah,
huh?
Justice Souter, sure.
Sure. All right, well, 1-866-50-JIMBO. If you could tell Congress one thing, I'm going to give you one sentence, even if it's a run-on sentence like that last caller. What would it be? 1-866-505-4626. Jack in Newport, North Carolina, what would you like Congress to hear?
If you're not going to read the bills, at least read the Constitution.
There you go.
I like that.
Jim in Fayetteville, North Carolina, what is your message for the members? Sounds like a rough cell connection, but it was Obamacare that he was characterizing the health bill as. Lorraine in Florence, Colorado, what would you like to tell every member of Congress?
Well, I'm a member of Colorado Right to Life, and I want Congress to not pass anything that would cause anyone to die. In this case, senior citizens.
Thanks very much. John in Birmingham, Alabama, if you could tell every member of Congress one thing, what would it be?
I want them to be able to fall into the same thing that the general populace does, because a lot of times when they pass these bills, they're excluded or they have a different program. And I'm wondering if that's what's going to happen this time.
Well, with health care on the table now, Dave, the coverage that the members get is pretty good, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. People are focused in on this issue, and they're watching what their members are doing. And if I could just go back to one point made earlier by a couple of listeners about read the bills. The issue isn't reading the bills. It's the bills that Congress works on. Everybody reads the bills through their assistants. Maybe they don't have time to read the whole bill, but believe me, they get a, there is no one who gets out on the House floor or the Senate floor that is totally devoid of knowledge of a bill and just votes because he doesn't know what the hell, pardon me, what the heck is going on.
But by the time it gets there, they've divided that document up to a bunch of well-educated, preppy lieutenants in the office there, each to his own specialty and gone through the meat and potatoes of it, huh?
Sure, absolutely. You can argue on the merits of a bill, but to try to say that the problems we have is because Congress doesn't know what bills it's passing is, based on everyone that I know of and my reporting, just not true.
What Washington doesn't get about America, what America doesn't get about Washington, and we want to hear from you, 866-50-JIMBO, the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Holland Cook, back in a flash.
Why is Congress saying one thing and doing nothing?
Tradition, mostly.
Julia Roberts and Tom Hanks, respectively, from Charlie Wilson's War.
Oh, yeah.
An interesting character from the time we worked together in the 80s. Okay. It's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Holland Cook with WTOP's Dave McConnell here in studio in Washington, and live in Las Vegas, KDWN's Heidi Harris. And we're talking about what Washington doesn't get about America and what America doesn't get about Washington. And Heidi, would I be overstating it to say that folks out there in the real world where you live are generally impatient with Washington?
You're going to call Vegas the real world? Well, that's a stretch. That's a heck of a stretch there, Holland. I don't know how real we are. We're pretty plastic out here. But, yeah, I think so. I think we're impatient with Washington. Let me give you a quick example I talked about this morning on my show. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood at one time basically confessed that his goal was to coerce people out of their cars, right? Now we've got this Cash for Clunkers program, $1 billion of my tax dollars going to be allocated so people, my neighbor, can go put $5,000, you know, $3,500, $4,500 or more in the case of Chrysler, down on a new car. I mean, how is this constitutional, and how is it Ray LaHood's job to get this kind of stuff going? I want you to pave the roads and fix the potholes, not give my neighbor money to buy a car, and not coerce me out of my SUV. That's where the disconnect gets frustrating for everybody, I think.
Well, Dave, what the heck are they doing there in Washington? Presidents and senators and congresspeople come and go, but things never seem to change, despite the fiery campaign speeches. They get here and they get digested into the process. Why is the Hill, Congress, which you cover, so set in its ways? What works about the status quo?
Well, it isn't that it's so set in its ways, but it is the legislative branch, one of the three branches of government, and in many ways, people would argue, the dominant branch. It has the power to overturn a presidential veto. It has many powers, not that they're unenumerated, we just don't think about them. But one thing that it does do is it moves legislation. It's introduced in the House. The House is much like Parliament in Britain. The ruling party really rules. There's not much that the opposition can do. If they ram a bill through, it hits the Senate. It's like George Washington said, the House is the hot cup of coffee, the Senate is the saucer. You pour the coffee out in the saucer and it cools, and it cools, and it cools. And amazing majority leaders like Lyndon Johnson, when he was one, could get the Senate to operate a little bit faster than it normally did because of the extraordinary personality and skills he had. We rarely see the likes of Johnson these days. And so it takes things longer and it's harder to get things through the Senate, but you could argue it's better when it finally gets through the Senate. But you're not going to change that process. That's the way the government works. And Obama is finding out, President Obama, just as earlier presidents found out, it's one thing to have a great campaign speech and make promises. It's far more difficult and much different to try to make those campaign speeches into legislation.
When the rubber meets the road. John from Iowa, if you could tell Congress one thing, what would it be?
Why was it okay for Michelle Obama, after her husband became senator, to get a raise from 120 to $317,000 working 1,000 hours a week at the University of Chicago Medical Center.
That is a well-crafted sentence. I'm not sure what Congress can do about it. Fred in New Mexico, what would you like to tell every member of Congress?
No taxation without representation.
We've heard that somewhere before. Jamie in Smith River, California, if you could tell Congress one thing, what would it be?
While it's known that Social Security is the third rail of politics, I would like to remind each and every member of Congress that we, the people, and I use that phrase quite distinctly, demand the passage of H.R. 1207 and S.604, calling for the audit of the Federal Reserve System.
Pat in Indiana, what would you like to tell official Washington?
I think that they waste a lot of time in Washington, and they're being paid by our tax dollars. If they can't get the job done there, then get another job.
Thanks very much. It's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Holland Cook with Heidi Harris in Las Vegas and WTOP's Dave McConnell here in Washington. I mentioned before, Dave, that you and I worked together here at WTOP in the 80s, and I think the last time I saw you before tonight was the mid-90s at Washington's ultimate annual star-studded event, the Correspondents' Dinner.
Oh, yes.
The prom. And that particular year was during the Clinton regime, and you were the master of ceremonies at the Correspondents' Dinner. And there you were, sitting on the dais next to the president having dinner. What does the president talk about over dinner with you?
Anything he wants to, and as long as he wants to. It was Bill Clinton. A wonderful conversation.
A charmer. Right?
A charmer, as you probably have all figured out, whether you agree or disagree or dislike Bill Clinton. You have to give him credit for being a very engaging, ongoing, and often persuasive person. He loves to talk to people, anybody, and he will look for people to talk to, in fact, if he gets a little lonely or there's nobody around to talk to. As I recall, we chatted about religion, the different religions. We talked about legislation to a certain extent. We talked about where he was from, what his background was. He asked me what my background was. He found out I was a native Washingtonian, essentially, and where I'd gone to school, things like that.
I met him when he was president-elect and experienced what everybody who's met him says, the steely eye contact. You have the impression that you have his complete attention.
You do.
And Heidi, you've met President George W. Bush. What was it like to meet him?
Well, you know, he's got a warmth that he exudes, and whether you like him or not, I think he's a very warm person. Same with Bill Clinton. I would give him that also. You know, it's interesting in contrast to President Barack Obama. I admit I didn't vote for him, all right, so I'll say that up front. But Barack Obama has a way of looking at you. He lifts his chin up, you know, he kind of looks down at you like you're stuck to the bottom of his shoe.
He didn't do that to me when I met him.
Well, maybe not to you. But
I'm almost as tall as he is. So.
Maybe that's the reason. But you see that even in the press conferences. He gets a little bit ruffled when people ask him a question. And that's kind of interesting. Even and Clinton was a lot better about that. Going back to something you said, Dave, about getting things through the Senate, do you think Harry Reid's lack of charisma is hurting things getting done in the Senate?
His critics think that his lack of charisma could be a problem. On the other hand, you don't get to be majority leader because you got charisma. You get along, you do it because the other 50 guys or ladies like you. They feel they can work with you and they trust you, and that's really why you get into leadership.
Mm-hmm. The Jim Bohannon Show brought to you by Acura. Acura Advance. We'll be right back.
So the phone rang this morning, Charlie. I didn't know. I never heard of you.
Well,
ask around.
I did.
What'd you find out?
That your greatest legislative achievement in six terms is getting reelected five times.
You think?
That you hold more IOUs than any member of the House.
How about that? I represent the only district in America that doesn't want anything. They want their guns. They want low taxes. That's it. I can do favors. I get to vote yes a lot.
Tom Hanks, yeah, as the legendary Charlie Wilson with Philip Seymour Hoffman in Charlie Wilson's War. There's a big difference between political science and the political process, eh, Dave?
Yeah, good time, Charlie. I remember him very well. Covered him.
Yeah.
His finely tooled Texas boots and his big sombrero. Big Texas hat, yeah. They don't make them like that anymore.
It's the Jim Bohannon Show. We're talking with Sandy from Iowa. What one thing would you like to tell the entire U.S. Congress?
Whatever it is they do with health care reform, just make it the same for our congressmen and our government officials as it is for us peons.
We're hearing that a lot. Tom from Minnesota, what would you like to tell the powers that be?
Bingo, that lady's got the right idea. Somewhere it says, of the people, by the people, for the people. My comment, my sentence is, for both Congress and the House of Representatives, put all Congress members and representatives on the same Social Security plan and medical insurance plan as we, the people, have.
Larry from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, what would you like to tell the U.S. Congress?
We're just like to ask him, where's the president's birth certificate?
I thought we finally resolved that today. Jeff from Kansas, what would you like to tell Congress?
I think sometimes trusting our government feels like hitchhiking in unfriendly territory. So I recommend that in the upcoming holiday, our legislatures hitchhike around whatever state they've been elected by.
Wow, that's a fact-finding tour. Heidi Harris in Las Vegas and Dave McConnell in Washington, in that order, I'm going to say two words, and I want you to react spontaneously. Al Franken.
Well, how did it get so bad that Al Franken got elected? That's what I want to know. I asked Norm Coleman that when I had him on the show, and you know what? I said, how did it get to this point, Norm, where it got so close that you had to battle it out? That's where they screwed up.
Dave, how is he doing so far? You've had a chance to see him up close and personal in the Sotomayor hearings. Does he look, as we say, senatorial?
We keep thinking he's going to make this tremendously funny outburst or this commit this funny line, and he hasn't done it. He's been very straight, very serious, like the Harvard-educated summa cum laude. I think he's up there guy. He is. And he's very serious, and that's the way he wants to be.
What a great hour. I wish we had a couple of more, but we have solved all of America's problems. Thank you, Heidi Harris in Las Vegas, Dave
Thank
McConnell
you.
In Washington.
You're welcome.
Alan Cook on the Jim Bohannon Show in the next hour, making a living without a job. Stick around.